In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Well, good morning again. This is Ken Keltner, pastor at Brookside Baptist Church, along with Jack Gardner, and we're welcoming you at Brookside right now. We are in a study of 1 Corinthians, the gospel changes everything. On the 14th, we're going to have Phil Hunt with us, our missionary to Zambia. God's been doing a great work there in Zambia, and he'll be with us all day, and so we look forward to him being with us. And we find ourselves right now, Jack and I, studying Joshua chapter 3, and they're getting ready to finally cross over the Jordan River and go into the Promised Land. But there are some parameters, some guidelines, some commandments that are being set before them, which Jack read last broadcast with us. They were to keep their eyes on the Ark of the Covenant. Jack, just read verse 4 for us as we start off this morning.
Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before.
Here the command is keep your distance, because this is emphasizing really the sacredness of this ark and the awesomeness of the glory of God. The ark, that was their picture. This is where the presence of God, and I mean, they were never to touch the ark. The priests were to pick it up and carry it, and that's what they were doing. And notice, they're told to stay a certain distance, and in our vernacular, it would be like 3,000 feet or 1,000 yards behind the ark.
Hmm.
The distance was to let them know the way that they should walk. And even though the ark symbolized God's presence among them, his presence wasn't to be taken lightly. God wanted no one near the ark except the Levites. They were the ones. And God had a special way. Again, it was supposed to be moved. It was supposed to be carried. And remember, anyone besides the Levites that ever touched the ark died. And you go, well, you know, they carried it. They weren't to touch it. They were to set it in place, you know, whenever they'd set up the tabernacle again. You remember there was a man one time who did touch it when it was falling, and God struck him dead, and David was just crushed over that. But when we talk about this presence of God, I mean, God is with us, and he's present with us today. We're never alone. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. That's the promise that God gives to us. And yet, I don't know how many times believers are praying, God, be with me today. You know, he is with us today. I like what David Howard said. He said there's two aspects of God's nature that are just absolutely powerful: his close, comforting presence, and secondly, his awesome, fearsome glory. And we're to keep that in a healthy balance in our lives. And it's balanced in the Bible. Really, what I pray for in my own life, Jack, is God, make me alert of your presence. I mean, I live for an audience of one, 24/7. He is the one. And not only does he see me, he knows all my thoughts. I mean, God cares for each one of us as believers in Christ individually, and it's so important. But I would say, Jack, sometimes we've gotten a little flippant in our response with the presence of God. I hope no one under the sound of my voice would ever refer to God as the man upstairs or the big man upstairs. I mean, a person that makes that statement doesn't really know the power and the presence of God.
Clearly, there's a difference, a big difference between us and him.
We're so, unfortunately, into marketing. I've seen the reverence for God that times it's just been lost in the church. Years ago, I remember the T-shirts that were styled after the Coca-Cola saying, Jesus Christ, he's the real thing. I mean, we've taken the glory of God and we've wrapped him up in our familiar packaging. Friends, it's unfortunate, but we've adopted this casual attitude towards God, and we seem to be fine with it. And I'm going to tell you, if we're going to actually move forward in our walk with the Lord, it's only going to be possible as we're guided by God and we keep our eyes fixed on him. There's a fairly simple way to state in words, but in actual practice, it becomes difficult to do unless we give our attention obedience to the Word of God. I mean, unfaithfulness to God has limited the measure of faith in the average present-day church member. And unfortunately, it's robbed us of its life-giving power, and it's led us to be really spiritually anemic. You know, I mean, you talk about the Church of Laodicea. They were anemic. They were lukewarm. God said, I hate it. You know, Jack, you know, working with teenagers for 20 years, a lot of times when I'd have some opportunities, you know, grabbing a hamburger with a group or going out and get some ice cream or pizza, and I'd just start, I said, well, tell me, you know, let's go one by one. I mean, where would you say you are in your own walk with God and how you're progressing? Zero being not too great, 10 being, hey, God's really, really guiding me. I keep my eyes on Him. Doesn't mean you're perfect all the time, but where would you be? What number do you think most people came up with for me, Jack? 0 to 10.
6.
Yeah, you're a little high. It was usually 5.
Okay.
And I thought, yeah, exactly where the enemy would like to have us. I mean, I think, Jack, one of the saddest testimonies are believers that have been, you know, saved for years, and they still spiritually are like in kindergarten. A lot of times, they've never taken the step of obedience in baptism, so, you know, maybe again, it's the fear of water, fear of sharing their testimony, I'm not sure what it is, but it's stifling to them, and there's just no growth.
Isn't it Peter that talked about the milk?
Oh, yeah. That newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. But then also, you know, you have the example of, hey, I'd love to feed you meat, but you're too weak, you're too young, that you're still on the milk of the word. And I don't know where you are, dear friend, but the attitude and the response of your of the presence of God in your life is so important. God is going to do great wonders here with the children of Israel. But it's going to require some special preparation. Read verse 5 for us again, Jack.
Okay. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you.
You might be driving along or lying there in bed listening this morning or getting ready for work, and you might be thinking, I mean, what is all the fuss about the preparation going into crossing the Jordan River? Well, one, it's going to be absolutely crucial that Israel recognize that they needed to be consecrated, set apart, dedicated to Him, for they were going into spiritual and physical battle in the days ahead. And thus, you got to be right with God. The Apostle Paul said, I have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. I mean, if they're going to be fortified in their faith, they got to be right with God just as we have to be right with God. Every day is a spiritual battle. And friends, let me just say this. Although God may not cut a path through rivers for His people every month, the principle remains. Do you prepare yourself to worship God publicly? When you go to corporately worship God, and that's what we're supposed to do. I didn't come up with that. God instituted the church. He instituted we're corporately to come together. And unfortunately, and I understand there's people out there that are not able to get out, but over the last several years, the fear of man has, with this whole COVID thing, has just destroyed our faith to the point that many are not even obedient to coming together and worshiping with God's people. And I can tell you this, if I don't prepare myself, then I can even fail to see the Lord's work in the routine affairs of my life. But what's interesting is he talks about this word sanctify. You know, positionally, we're sanctified, we're set apart from God, Jack, when we first put our faith and trust in Him. Then we are set apart by God. We are part of His family. And that's where you get into the progressive sanctification. We're never going to arrive, obviously, at the state of perfection. It's God working in our life and changing us. Sanctification is when we'll have a new body there with the Lord, and we're going to be right with Him. We're going to be righteous, and that ultimate sanctification. But that word sanctified, the English words that would line up to this Hebrew word would be such words as consecrate, holy, sacred. I mean, a key part of this whole sanctification process for the nation of Israel is to have their hearts and their actions right with God. I mean, so it's going to even include the washing of their clothes and abstaining from sexual relations, you know, and trying to help people, especially young people. Sanctification is a big theological word. Now, I often just say it's like a broom, a dustpan, a trash can, a mop bucket. Mm. There are some things that you have to take out of your life that are killing you spiritually and replace that. You can't just take things out of your life and not replace it. You need to replace it with the Spirit of God moving and working in your life. Yes.
Process of putting off and putting on.
Exactly. Yeah. Putting off the old man, the new man is put on. And what am I feeding? Am I feeding the old man? Am I feeding the new man?
Hmm.
I may have shared this illustration with you before, but in trying to help teens see this, I remember we were coming back from camp, and can I just say this? I know so many kids, they come back from camp, have a passion to serve God, and then pretty soon it just fizzles. Couple of reasons for that. One, I'm going to be brutally honest with moms and dads here. Hmm. Moms and dads don't live their faith in front of their children. I mean, we have young people walking away from the church today. There's a reason. It's going to come back to the home. The home, moms and dads. Jack, I never saw a young person have a passion to serve God who came from a lukewarm, spiritually minded home. They either came from homes that had a great passion for God, or they came from homes that wanted nothing to do with God.
Hmm.
I mean, many preachers, evangelists came from homes where dad was a drunk. And they saw the evils of that, and someone shared the gospel, and they put their faith and trust in Christ. Secondly, is they don't get things out of their life, young people, when they come back from camp. And so we tried to, I just said, hey, if you've had some things tearing you up in your Christian life, and they're in your car, they're in your locker at school, they're under your bed, moms and dads don't know anything about them,
mm-hmm.
Put them in a brown paper bag, come on Sunday, throw them in this trash can. Nobody's going to look in there to see what you're throwing away and just testify this stuff was killing you spiritually. I was amazed. I mean, kids started coming. I was at a Christian school, and just on the spot, I said, you got stuff in your car in your locker. Go get it and put it. Hey, there's a brown paper bag provided for you. I was shocked how many kids went out and said, yeah, this stuff is killing me spiritually. We usually know it's killing us.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, man, I've made it too easy. I started doing it on Sunday nights. And you know what happened then? Adults started coming saying, hey, where's the yellow can? I need to get rid of some stuff in my own life.
Yeah, and you know, even if you don't have those things physically, you can have those things in your heart, or there can be other challenges in that regard. Throw them out in a less than physical way, but in the dumpster of your heart.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'll close with this. Holiness is an important concept all the way throughout the Old Testament. Be holy, God said, for I am holy. And if you ask me, Pastor Ken, what would you say it would be a great book for me to get on holiness? It would be, you read the book of Leviticus. Because that is one of the greatest books on the holiness of God. Because when you get to chapter 21 through 25, you'll see, it's almost like God is, you know, Jack, with small children, you go, don't do that. And the first question is, why? Why? And it is, you can insert the why there. God says, don't do this. You can almost see between the line, why? And God says, because I'm the Lord your God, that's why. And so this aspect of holiness and sanctification is so critical. So what is it today, friend, that you're going to have to say no to because it's killing you spiritually? Get it out of your life. Recognize that the command and the imperative in Scripture is we're to be holy as God is holy.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.